Office Wife. The story of the girl who married her boss and of the girl who took over. Here is Stella Bronson to commence another episode of Office Wife.
The case against Harry Palmer is going just about as you'd expect it to. Dead against the rotter. And I, for one, haven't a shred of sympathy for him. He's absolutely watertight. I can't see the sense of Maurice Aaron's even attempting a defense. But he cross-examined Inspector James and that man White, you know, the one who overheard Palmer and Angela Tennant quarreling, as though he actually had something up his sleeve. Well, this is the second day of the trial. First, there was a pathologist who gave evidence about the actual manner of Angela Tennant's death. Then they called Jeff. He's been on the stand more than an hour already, telling about the fraud, Angela's blackmailing of Palmer, and how Palmer could never be safe while Angela was alive. Ah, prosecutor's just finished. And here comes that man Aarons. Ah, now Jeff will catch it. But I don't think I like Maurice Aarons. One of those foxy individuals, as sharp and keen as a skinning knife.
That was rather an intriguing story you told the court, Mr. Pilgrim. You say you were tried for this fraud.
Tried and acquitted.
But the acquittal didn't keep you from being kicked out of Treasurer Bendigo and Company.
I didn't offer to return.
But you were made an offer by the firm. You could have been reinstated if you had wanted to be.
The question didn't arise.
Were you married at the time the fraud took place? The fraud, you say, the defendant instigated?
Yes.
Did your wife leave you at about this time?
It had nothing to do with the fraud.
But you were tried for the fraud, and your wife left you at about the same time?
Yes.
Who took your place at Treasurer Bendigo and Company?
Palmer.
The defendant didn't happen to supplant you in the affections of your wife, did he?
I protest against this line of questioning. These questions have nothing whatever to do with
Your
the
Honor,
case.
Your Honor, I am testing the credibility of this witness.
You must answer the questions as put. I will interrupt if I consider them out of order.
I'll put the question to you again.
It always boils down to the same thing.
Did the defendant
Who's going to believe Jeff when the Bendigos and his wife wouldn't?
So it amounts to this. You were tried for embezzlement, but you were acquitted. Nevertheless, you were not reinstated at President Bendigo and Company. Your wife left you, your job was taken over by the defendant, and the defendant from then forward was seen a good deal in the company of your wife. Am I correct?
Yes.
Do you still expect the court to believe your story about the defendant's motive for murdering Mrs. Angela Tennant?
It's the absolute truth.
I suggest there's not a word of truth in it.
No.
I suggest that you would do anything to damage the defendant's case. To revenge yourself against him for stealing your wife.
That's some mitigated rubbish.
Do you harbor any hostility towards the defendant?
Not to the extent of helping to hang him.
Answer the question. Do you heartily detest the defendant?
Naturally, I detest him. I loathe the very sight of him. And I consider I've every reason to.
Thank you, Mr. Pilgrim.
Poor darling. How utterly beastly, Jeff. That foxy little mouthpiece raking up your divorce and Marcia to defend Palmer.
He was only doing his stuff. That's what he's paid for. And anyway, they told me to expect it.
Oh, yes, but it's so unfair. It'll be in the papers. And to have it all gloated over when it couldn't do Palmer a scrap of good. It was so pointless, Jeff.
Maybe it wasn't so pointless. Palmer hasn't been convicted yet.
Oh, don't be silly. It's all over by the shouting. How on earth Aarons hopes to get around the fingerprints and Angela's telephone call to Inspector James?
I'm waiting for Aarons to spring a surprise to them.
Because of Marcia?
Yes. Marcia has something up her sleeve in this business. And if she could know something, so could Aarons.
Jeff, You surely don't think they're going to get Marcia on the stand to testify for Palmer?
I don't know what to think. All I know is she had that letter from Angela Tennant, delivered after Angela was dead. And she lied her head off the other day when Aarons was in her office. There's something building up, I swear there is.
Well, anyway, darling, we'll know soon enough. And if we don't hurry up over lunch, we'll be missing half the show. I want to see the prosecutor tackle Mr. Palmer. That's what I'm waiting for.
Me too. I should think he'd be called this afternoon.
Jeff, you've seen Marcia and Percy Fleming in court, haven't you?
Yes, of course I have.
Why haven't you spoken to Marcia, yesterday or today?
Because if Marcia's doing what I have a horrible suspicion she is, concealing evidence so Palmer will be convicted, I don't want to speak to her. Today or tomorrow or any other day. Come on. Time we were moving back to the courthouse.
Very well, Palmer. You have told the court what happened the night of Mrs. Tennant's death. You have told the court how you came to be in her flat. Will you now tell the court, did you or did you not poison Angela Tennant?
No, Mr. Aarons, I did not.
Can you suggest how she came by her death?
Angela Tennant committed suicide with the express purpose of hanging me for her murder.
Can you further suggest any reason why she should wish to see you hanged?
Yes, I can.
Will you tell the court, please, in your own words?
Angela Tennant was a woman of violent loves and hatreds. We had an understanding. Until 3 or 4 weeks before her death, we were engaged to be married. I jilted her, and time after time, she said that if I didn't marry her, I wouldn't live to marry anyone else.
You jilted the deceased. How did she indicate that you would not live?
She pleaded with me to reconsider, and one night we quarreled violently, as a former witness has testified. I made some needlessly cruel remarks in the heat of the moment, and as I left, she said that I would hang.
Can you tell the court her exact words, please?
She said, "If you walk out of this flat now, Harry, you will hang for it. I won't be around to see you, but I swear you'll hang."
What a pack of appalling lies. Oh, Jeff, surely they can put some witness on the stand to prove him a liar?
I hope they can. Look at the jury. The rat's made an impression.
But Angela Tennant was trying to have him arrested for killing her in his car only a few months ago.
I know. They'll have to recall Inspector James.
How he can have the nerve to stand there...
It looks as though Aarons has finished with him, Stella. Let's see how he fares against Yeomanry, the prosecutor.
Now then, you say you had an understanding with the deceased.
That's right.
And this was common knowledge, I take it, among your friends and acquaintances?
Well, actually, no. She wanted it kept a secret.
I see. She was prepared to commit suicide so you'd hang if you didn't marry her, but she wanted it kept a secret.
Yes.
Did you buy the deceased a ring?
No.
Why not? Surely in your circle...
It was Angela Tennant's wish. I happened to be short of money at the time.
Cast your mind back a year or two. At that time, had you promised to marry a certain Miss Millie Moffat?
No.
And more recently... Did you make offers of marriage to Mrs. Marcia Pilgrim in the event of her divorce from Geoffrey Pilgrim?
No.
I must remind you, Palmer, you are on oath. Mrs. Pilgrim is in court and may be called.
Well, in a way, yes.
And you wish the court to believe that almost at the same time you had an understanding with the deceased.
Well, Marcia Pilgrim wanted to go back to her husband.
Marcia Pilgrim is divorcing her husband. I put it to you, your story about being engaged to Angela Tennant is a lie.
No, it's the truth.
Your whole story about the suicide is a lie.
No.
I suggest you knew you could never be secure while Angela Tennant was alive.
No.
I suggest You knew she took luminal sleeping tablets. You waited your opportunity, and on the night of her death, you saw your opportunity.
It's not true, I tell you.
I suggest that the deceased offered you a drink when you called at her flat. You accepted, and there you saw how you could get rid of your one-time confederate by slipping 15 tablets into her drink.
No, no, no!
And after leaving your fingerprints on the bottle that held the tablets and the glass you drank from, and hearing the rest of the case against you, you are fabricating this nonsense about the deceased committing suicide to hang you, and you stand there in the box.
She must have, I tell you. She must have killed herself because I didn't.
Do you ask the court to believe that any woman in her right senses would kill herself to be revenged on you for not marrying her?
But she wasn't in her right senses.
Ah, so Mrs. Tennant was crazy, was she?
She was practically off her head. She drank incessantly. She was almost fit to be committed. She was crazy enough to do anything, I tell you. And she did this.
You honestly believed Mrs. Tennant to be almost insane?
Yes, yes, yes.
And do you still ask us to believe that this was the woman you had asked to marry you? I repeat, do you still ask the court to believe that you had asked this demented woman to marry you? I think that will be all, Palmer.
That I've got away with everything I ever set out to do. Now I look like hanging for something I didn't do. Oh, Aarons, think of something quickly. That's 2 days of it gone now. We're sinking fast. There's only one more witness to call. One witness they don't know about. One witness to make that jury believe Angela Tennant did do away with herself. Because I did not.
We invite you to listen to further episodes of Office Wife, written by L.J. Hardy, a Donovan Joyce production.